There is a whole church family this morning in a combined worship service. We're glad that you are here. I heard this week of a guy, a husband and a family that had twins. The two boys could be no different from each other than their looks. If both were in a room, one would be hot, the other would say, well, it's too cold. If they're watching TV, one would say, well, it's too loud, and the other would say, it's not loud enough. And so one year for Christmas, the father decided to try something on his two sons. And on Christmas Day, to the pessimist son, who kind of always saw things glass half empty, he decided to fill his room full of gifts. And then to the son, who's the optimist, who always had a wonderful outlook about almost everything, he filled it with a pile of manure. And so he came walking down the hallway on Christmas, and he heard from the pessimist son's room just this crying and sobbing. What in the world? And so he walked on in and said, what's the problem? He said, well, I'm going to have to read all these instruction manuals. I'm going to have to share with my friends, and they'll probably end up breaking. And he just sat there, sad and crying and depressed with all his gifts. Then all of a sudden, he heard an overjoying, laughing, and celebrating sound coming from his other son's bedroom. And he walked down the hallway and walked in and saw his son dancing around in the pile of manure. And he said, son, what are you doing? And he said, I just know there's got to be a pony in here somewhere. Merry Christmas. I know for some, Christmas may not seem as merry as others, but we can find hope, and that hope is found in Jesus Christ. This morning's message is titled, God Came for You. And as we go through this message this morning, I want you to be selfish, and I want you to think about you. I want to read to you this morning in Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. This is as the angel spoke to Joseph. He says, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Will you pray with me before we go any further this morning? Heavenly Father, as we explore your word this morning concerning the birth of your son, may our hearts be open to your word. May our minds, Father, be inquisitive to what your Spirit is guiding us to understand and to believe. I pray, Father, as we go through your word, that, Lord, we humble ourselves before you, our God. Let me pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I've got to tell on myself this morning. You might remember I told you about a trip that we took out east a few weeks ago during Thanksgiving break. Went out, and the main objective was to see Washington, D.C. and go through the Shenandoah Valley, and we had a wonderful time. On the way home, the last day, we woke up and got on the road at 8 a.m., and we arrived in our driveway about midnight, and we pretty much drove that entire day long, except for a few pit stops. The last leg of the trip, as we were taking Interstate 64 through southern Indiana, where there's not much, it was getting late, the kids were zonked out, Trista was kind of in and out of sleeping, trying to encourage me to stay awake, I think. But as we were traveling, I was thinking how nice my shower at home is going to feel and how nice it'll be to lay my head down on my own pillow, which caused, therefore, my foot to grow heavier, if you know what I mean. I thought, there's no one around anywhere in southern Indiana. Once you cross into Illinois until you get to Mount Vernon, there's just absolutely nothing. And so I put the pedal down a little bit harder. As we were driving, Trista doesn't know about this. I haven't told her. I noticed a car. There's no cars around at all. And a car come up just right on my tail. And we traveled like that for about a quarter of a mile. I was getting agitated. And I was tired and weary and just ready to get home. I thought, what is this guy doing? We got the whole interstate just past me or whatever. And he just stayed right on my tail. And it didn't take me long to where I kind of tapped my brakes a couple times. And then I kind of sped up a little bit. And then he sped up. And I thought, you punk. I don't even know who this is. It could be a 16-year-old kid. It could be a 90-year-old woman. I don't know who it is. But I got agitated. And so I sped up faster than I should have. And guess what he did, or she, I don't know who it was. They sped right up again. So then I slowed way down. And he passed me. I thought, all right, good deal. So he got way ahead of me, and I went back to the speed I was traveling. And before I know it, I caught up to him, and I was right behind him. And I thought, you know what? Payback. I kind of tailed him a little close. Trista's asleep. If she would have been awake, she would have been on me about, I'm acting stupid. Well, we started battling with each other again, doing the same thing, except for the roles were reversed. Finally, I just pulled out beside him and kind of just looked over at him. I couldn't tell who it was or what was going on. But it was in that moment where I'm thinking, you punk, would you just get out of my way? Leave me alone. I want to just get home. I'm tired. It's late. It's been a long day. And then I realized, I'm a preacher. I'm almost also a bus driver. And any sort of speeding violation, I get my CDL yanked. My wife's asleep. My kids are asleep. The cat's in the car with us. He's asleep. And there I am with no one else to convict myself but myself. And so I eased off the pedal and just let the guy get out of sight. And finally, I just kind of felt a calm. And in that moment, I realized I was calling that guy a punk and how that person was just a terrible driver and all that. And I realized, though, I was being a punk. Why is that? Well, it's because of sin. Sin's the culprit. Sin is defined by its middle letter, I. Sin is very selfish. Sin causes us to literally only think about ourselves. Sin leads us down roads that we wouldn't rather take. But we do because we focus on self, on I, on me. Well, we all have it. So Merry Christmas. Under the right circumstances, you will do the wrong thing. Under the right circumstances, I'll do the wrong thing as well, because we're born with it. You may not remember your first temper tantrum, but I bet your parents do. Did anyone teach you to throw that temper tantrum? No. That first temper tantrum that you threw, whatever it was over, a toy in the store, not sharing with your cousin or your brother or your sister, whatever it might be, sin is a part of who we are because of the fall of man. So, God decided to enter this world and do something about it. God had a plan. I want us to look back once more at the verse that we read, two verses we read earlier. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, it says, "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.'" There's two words that have a connection in verse 21, and that's Jesus and sin. We might not get this because we're not Hebrew, but Joseph, who the angel announced this to name this boy Jesus, being a Hebrew man, would have understood what the angel was meaning. Because when you translate the name Jesus, it's the word Yeshua, which means God saves. Not God-like, or not godly, not God cares, or God loves, or God hopes, but God saves. I'm sure as Joseph sat back and was contemplating this situation, which was very unusual, and then he thought about that name, God saves. He may have remembered the rabbi that taught him when he was a child about the Old Testament texts that describe the coming of a Messiah, and how small it probably made Joseph feel that an angel was coming to him to announce to him that his wife would bear the son named Jesus, which is God saves. Now that's a Merry Christmas. When we have our prayers, We pray many times for serious things. We pray for health. We pray for relationships. We pray for financial struggles. But the most important thing that we need is a God that saves. And so, that's what God did. God knew that something had to change for our lives. And so He sent His Son, Jesus, a name that means God saves. You see, God has a plan for you that's literally out of this world. Literally. We see lots of deals at Christmas time, don't we? Lots of offers. Buy this for this, buy this, get one free or half off, however it might be. And then the Christmas sales after Christmas. On Tuesday, you can go to the shopping malls and the Walmart and wherever you like to shop, and boy, you can really find the deals if you don't mind putting up with the hectic crowds and acting like a punk. But the greatest offer ever given is what God gave through His Son, Jesus, Yeshua. God saves. And so today, God is working to restore you. I want you to think about you. God is working behind the scenes to restore you in a right relationship with Him. And He did that by sending His Son, Jesus. That's why we celebrate His birth. The most important gift ever given. And Jesus was born into this world because He is the one and only cure for the infection that's called sin. Sin affects every single person. No one is exempt from it. Romans 3:23 tells us, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But the Merry Christmas is that God sent His Son who saves. You know, Jesus encountered His share of punks. He encountered those who thought they were more important than Him. He encountered those who thought they were smarter than Him. He encountered those who thought they were more popular than Him. Jesus had His struggles from the cradle, the crib, the manger, to the cross. Jesus had those struggles, the same sorts of struggles that you and I deal with on a daily basis. But we know one thing that's different between He and us is that Jesus was perfect. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21 says, "God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us." Do you understand what that means? Jesus, who came from heaven, bore our sins. He took them upon Himself. It's not that He had to because He had done something wrong, but He did it because He loved. So that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. What's it mean to be righteous? It means to be in a right relationship. And it only happened because of that baby that was born on that day. Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, "He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By His wounds you have been healed." The child that was born lived to be a man and laid down His life. Why? Because God decided to enter this world to do something about sin. That problem that each and every one of us have, God set forth to do something about it. And Jesus gave us victory over sin. But even more than that, He has given us the resources it takes to battle temptation, to overcome and resist sin. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 tells us that Christ is in you. If you are a Christian, if you have given your life to Christ, Christ is in you. And day by day, the punk that's in you will slowly disappear and be filled with who Jesus is. That's the eternal promise that God has given. As I spoke earlier, God has a plan for you that's out of this world. Something far beyond what we experience on this side of eternity. But on this side of eternity, God has a set plan for those who call His Son their Savior to be transformed, to be changed, to be a new person, to walk the walk, to talk the talk, that Jesus did. I'm sure glad that Jesus lived up to his name. If Jesus, partway through his ministry, would have decided, I don't think so. These people aren't worth it. These people don't reciprocate my love. But he didn't. He did the ultimate sacrifice for us. And so I am glad that Jesus lived up to his name, God saves. Certainly God loves us, God cares for us, but most importantly, God saves us. And Jesus lived up to that name. And my question for you this morning, have you asked him to save you? That baby that was born in that manger lived to be a man, to die on a cross for the sins of humanity, but not to just be dead, but to be raised to life through the power of the Holy Spirit by the eternal plan of God. Jesus' name means God saves. Have you asked God to save you? That's my hope and my prayer for all of us this morning. As we celebrate this Christmas, we celebrate what God has done. Have you asked God to save you? If you've already asked God to save you, that is awesome. That is wonderful. You have made the most important decision that you could ever make for your life. I told you in the beginning, think of yourself. Now I want you to think of others. If you have already asked God to save you, then how is it God can use you to help others ask that same question? What more important Christmas gift could we give than to give the words of Jesus saving? You know, God never barges into a life, but he certainly doesn't put down an invitation. And so this morning, we've sang, and we sang some more. We've remembered Christ through communion. We have given. But the most important thing I think that we can do this morning is to offer that same gift that God gave 2,000 years ago. For you to make a decision about Christ in your life. And if you have yet to have received Christ as your Lord and your Savior, what a better time than to receive that gift that God has given. If you've already received that gift, make the song that we're going to sing in a few moments not a song of invitation, but rather a song of rededication. As we head into this Christmas season, as we head into a new year in a couple of weeks, how can your life be that much better? Because it can. Because of Christ. And so this morning, we'll have this song of invitation for those who would like to receive Christ as our Lord and Savior. We welcome you this morning with open arms, offering the simple gift that God gave through His Son, Jesus, which means God saves. If you would, stand with us this morning as we prepare to sing this song of invitation.